Connected to CMN Network.
Well, it's extremely cold outside. What happened to summer?
Deep subject for first thing in the morning.
Yeah, it's a little brisk. Almost put on a fleece. And, yep, deep subject. Good morning, Vietnam. I think Lance was in there. We doubled.
You say almost put a fleece on? I did put a fleece on. But I might be farther north than you are this morning. Anyway, I'll let you guys at it. I just had to pipe in. And this is N8ZC up here in the Bancroft, Shiawassee County area.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Roger. Yeah, I mean, it's Ford Motor Company is telling me it's 41 degrees. It's probably a couple higher than that. Usually goes up a couple. I don't know. Hard to say. Which is, yeah, that's kind of light jacket weather. But I'm running around in a long sleeve shirt, so we will endeavor to persevere. Donald?
Yeah, I stepped out on the balcony. I just have a sweatshirt on and jeans. And no window to speak of, so it's not too bad, but and the sun's coming up. But yeah, we'll see how it goes today. Got an email. There's going to be no therapy, no physical therapy today. It's canceled, so probably too cold for them, too.
They getting a snow day, are they?
I'll type that back as my response when I got the email. I just looked at it and I said, oh, okay, it's canceled. And I'll answer that and see what kind of reaction I get. That's a good one. Touché.
Can't possibly let the children go to school in this frigid cold. Ah, well.
After all, most parents let them wander around and the wintertime as it is with no coats, and heck, it's not uncommon to see people in shorts. So, you know, where did common sense go? NHZC.
Yesterday was the anniversary of my divorce.
Refresh me on your name.
Once I got married and got divorced, I threw common sense out the window.
I heard you the other day in there, and
it was a losing battle.
Jumped in an ass, but forgive me if I should know. I thought may have it refresh my memory.
Okay, let's see if I got it here. Okay, it sounds like it. A little bit of a double there. Oh, anyway, don't feel bad. I'm trying to keep everybody's name straight, too, because I do more listening than anything. But anyway, name here's Carrie. That's Charlie Alpha Romeo Yankee. And I'm up here in Shiawassee County. I've been listening, of course, to MI-5 up here in Bancroft, and I'm only a couple miles away from that repeater. And then the Durand machines. You know, you guys are the most activity Shiawassee County has on any of the repeaters, so guess where I hang out. Anyway, let's see. N8ZC.
All right, then. Zulu carry, carry. Zulu carry on. I'm horrible like this. Tomorrow I'll be gone. What was that name again? Anyhow, I will try. Donald.
I believe I have Terry on my the list, and my list has 1,215 names on it. So if he's not on there, he'll be on there shortly. But Terry, I've heard you on the MI5 as well, and I apologize for my doubling again. But I need coffee. I haven't even hit the coffee pot yet. I've showered, shaved, dressed, everything, and I just have no energy. And then I get an email that my physical therapy's canceled, and for whatever reason this time, and so on and so forth. But sun is shining. That's what's a good thing. Carrie, I guess over to you, and then Sean.
K8RUH. And there's another one of the morning crew who don't feel bad. I'll get used to his name as well. Oh, I'll go ahead and pass it over to who just jumped in there. And yeah, I quite literally have a pen and a piece of scratch paper here and jot everybody's name down and whatnot, and then I put it over into the notepad zap here on my Mac. I got a document for call signs to listen for, so yeah, that gets updated every couple of days kind of thing, so we'll go from there. Anyway, Station, I just jumped in there. Sorry, but go for it. N-A-Z-C.
No worries. Name here is Anthony, K-E-8-R-U-H. Hopping in, saying good morning, and I think it goes over to Sean, and just pick up back in the conversation.
Yeah, good morning, Anthony. Oh, man. I did it. I switched over to the dark side last night. I got my FirstNet iPhone, and I transferred my primary line over to it. I got my FirstNet, so it's got two lines on it. It's got my FirstNet line, and it's got my T-Mobile line. And now I am all iPhone and MacBook, except for my Shack PC. So we'll see. Last time I was in an iPhone, I was couldn't wait to get rid of it. But things have changed a lot since then. Donald?
Ah, yes. MacBooks, not so much. iPhones, yeah. iPhones is the reason why I got out of the cell phone business. And I'll leave it at that. I digress. Good morning, Anthony. And over to Carrie.
Sean, Anthony, you're now on my list. Oh, well, I'm a proud Mac guy for many, 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 many years. I used to be a certified Macintosh technician for a long time, back through the 90s and early 2000s. Until Steve Jobs came back there, you know, early in the 21st century, if you will, and killed all the certifications and certified Mac tech unless you worked for the Apple Store. Huh. I wasn't very happy about that, but, you know. And the other side of the coin is if you're a Mac technician, you didn't make any money because they just simply don't break like PCs. Unfortunately, you can't get away from PCs either, especially with radio stuff. So, yeah, I do both. You know, what can I say? And I've actually been teaching myself lately how to use Linux. And I've kind of settled into Linux Mint, what they call the Debian edition. But I still scratch my head. But you know what the heck, it gives me something to do. And as far as iPhones, oh my gosh, I've stuck with iPhones since version 3, something like that. But I've tried Android stuff, and if it has anything to do with Google, I avoid it. Then again, I'm the same way with social media, too. I don't do that either, so what the heck? I'm one of the odd ones. And let's see, I think Anthony gets it, so go for it. And hey, let's see.
Yep, I go back and forth between PC and Apple. I have a MacBook, and about, I don't know, 8 months, a year ago, I was trying to, like, totally switch over to it, and I don't think I've opened that MacBook in, I don't know, 3 months. It just starts to become inconvenient. My work computer, my radio computer, they are all PCs. And it's like, how many computers do you have room for in your life? Over to you, Sean.
Yeah, so I know the pain there. I'm trying to get things consolidated at work. I've got three computers I use regularly at work, open on my desk, two all the time. I've got my work supplied Windows machine, and then I've got my MacBook that I got from you. And I love the MacBook. I absolutely, ever since I bought my first one back in 2012 or 2013, I've been just a MacBook fanatic. But like you, when I get home and I get in the shack, I got my PC, you know, my shack PC, and I'll do almost everything there. So, you know, the MacBook doesn't get cracked out, but I use it during the day or whenever I'm traveling. My only disappointment with the new Mac silicone is, as I've said many times before, is I can no longer use the USB-C ports and convert those over to serial or use the USB programming cables with my virtual machine. So even if I've got Windows 11 running perfectly on the new MacBook. It runs flawlessly in a window, no less. I don't have to boot it into Windows, so I can run a Windows 11 window. And that lets me get, you know, a good portion of the work done I need to get done. But with respect to all my radio stuff, I also need to do the programming cables, and those don't work. And, I'm not totally convinced that I won't be able to work that out. I just haven't spent any time on it. But if I could do that, then I could live in the MacBook. But it sucks now because all my correspondences with the state and everything go through, hold on a sec here. All my state correspondences for, you know, templates and archives and all that stuff come in and out of my work computer. And, you know, but IT won't let me keep the Motorola software on there reasonably. You know, it's like, every time it updates, I'd have to put in a ticket, wait for them. I just don't have time for that. So I got a separate computer. So I can do it on my MacBook. I can manipulate the archives and do all that kind of work. But I can't program. So then I got to take it and move it to a third computer where I can actually do the programming. And I'm looking to change that. I'm looking to get one really good non-county PC. Then I can take that one they gave me and I can shove it in a corner where I never have to look at it again. And I should be able to do all the stuff all my technicians can do from a single PC. And then my MacBook will just be relinquished to cat videos and porn and all that good stuff that it was meant for. Donald?
I'm old school Windows, a little bit of Google thrown in there. I'm off of all social media except for Discord. Yeah, I mean, I'm at a point in my life I don't need that kind of stuff anymore, and I'm trying not to work with AI as much as possible. And but, you know, it just keeps infiltrating you. And I got my spreadsheet in front of me, and I already have Terry listed on the spreadsheet. Number 129 out of 1,215, and I just put a little star by his name or asterisk there just to remind me, oh, yeah, he's the Apple guy. So, but he didn't get kicked off my list. Anyhow, yeah, my daughter, Carrie, she's a doctor out in Vegas, and she's got more iPhones than I can count. She probably has more than as many additions have been made. But also, my daughter is was big into the iPods and the mini iPods and everything else, and she's got a drawer full of those, like a junk drawer of that, and another junk drawer full of cables and stuff. And I know my daughter can afford this stuff with the money she makes being a doctor and all, but I just asked her, I said, how many more phones do you have in the junk drawer? How many more iPods, which are no longer in existence? But, yeah, she's got a nice collection of Apple iPhone products and iPods and cables and everything else. And me, in the last 12 years of my retirement, I've only been through 3 Motorola Lenovo cell phones. Some of them had to be replaced due to damage or whatever, but only 3 devices for me, and she's on, what, iPhone 17 now, probably? Who knows? And over to you, sir. Terry?
Is it a gold star next to my name? I haven't had one of those since, I don't know, what grade would I have been in? 3rd? 4th? Oh, anyway, I couldn't help myself. And as far as your daughter goes, you know, you could look at all those old Macs as a retirement plan, and, you know, someday she could open up an Apple museum or something. Oh, anyway, yeah. And then somebody mentioned about serial ports and the Mac and running Windows. I'm thinking that you're probably doing a virtual machine of some sort, and that's where I'm stuck on Linux, trying to make serial ports work. I just can't get my head wrapped around that, but that's okay, too. Because I got 3 computers sitting here, if I don't count my iPad. And that's an old iPad to the point where about the only thing it's good for is playing solitaire and the Internet, sort of. But anyway, yeah. And Discord was mentioned. That was the one I'm kind of thinking about because I know there's a lot of ham radio stuff on Discord. But, you know, with my other couple of hobbies, it's like everything's Facebook, and it's like I'm just not going to do it. It ain't going to happen. But, you know, what the heck. There's a lot of enough information out there on the Internet. Anyway, I think that was everything I wanted to cover, but oh well. And let's see. Anthony, go ahead and take it. This, once again, is N8ZC, and I think number 2 cup of coffee is, you know, the first cup evaporated. So, anyway, number 2 in the works, N8ZC.
Hey guys, I'm hopping out to pump gas, but while it's fresh, Sean, if you know what kind of laptop you're looking for spec-wise, shoot it over to me. I'll see if I can find something for you. This is K8RUH. I'll be back in the next round.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a work purchase. I'll explain when you get back, but anyhow, see you on the next go-round. Yeah, I love my MacBook. When I decided, I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't want to be the guy that said, you know, Windows is superior and, you know, Android superior. And never having really, you know, got into the Apple-verse. So I went 100%, like, in 2012. I got an iPhone. I converted my music over to iTunes. I got a MacBook, the whole 9 yards. I just went all in. And, The iTunes, I couldn't live with that. I don't think I got a month. And I said, this is ridiculous. I just give me a simple way to manage my music. This is just too much BS. So I got rid of that. And the phone at the time, that was 2012. There were a lot of weird things going on with Apple. Like one of the deal breakers, believe it or not, is I couldn't be talking to somebody on the phone and pay for something like with my Starbucks app. I had to hang up with the person I was talking to, buy my coffee, and call them back. And that was like the last straw for me. In addition to all the pay for everything, there was nothing available out there free at the time. And I couldn't deal with the iPhone either. But the MacBook I adored, and I've never looked back. I just love my MacBook. Now I'm giving iPhone another try. I switched over last night. I got an iPhone 16. I know it's not the latest, greatest, but it has a USB. Thank God they're finally joining the 21st century here and getting a USB-C connector instead of stupid proprietary crap. So that was one thing. But we'll see. I know a lot has changed since my bad experience with iPhone 15 years ago. And we'll see how it goes. I've had one for work for a while. So I've been carrying one, and it's not horrible. There are certain things I can't stand. You know, one thing that bothers me is there's no button. You know, it's like I liked it when they had one button. You know, I like Android with the back button and all your apps stay running. You know, and in order to close them, you gotta swipe up just right, and then you gotta kind of go through one at a time and like pull it off the screen, pull it off the screen, pull it off the screen. You know, why can't I just close down all the apps like in Android? Maybe you can, and I don't know how to do it yet. But they seem like they're all in there polluting and taking up some of the phone's power. I don't know, maybe not. But just can't stand it. Nothing really closes. You just kind of swipe up to get to the next thing. Can I close something?
Good morning, Dakota. We heard you in there. I'll let you jump in after me and Anthony and a new gentleman by the name of Terry up in Shiawassee is chimed in as well. Another thing about me with Apple is my significant other is an Android girl all the way. She has Apple, Mac, iPhones, and stuff like that for work. And she tolerates it, is the polite way to say it over the air. But it's just, you know. And me with Apple and the iPhone mainly, not so much the Mac. I've never even used a Mac computer. I tried using my girlfriend's a couple times, and I just pull what's left of the hair on my head. But, yeah, just the whole thing with Apple, iPhones, and having them constantly hit you up for training and mystery shopping and things like that. I threw them out of my cell phone store, and I threw their products out of there, and I just said, no, I'm done. And a year later, I retired. And that's about it there for me on that subject. So Dakota, chime in, and then it'll be followed by Anthony, who hopefully is, no, after me, Carrie, then Anthony, Sean. We'll figure it out. W8RCY.
Thanks, Donald. I don't know if you guys heard me. Good morning, everyone. Sean, you don't need to worry about closing the apps. I couldn't even tell you the last time I closed them on mine. These newer Apple silicon chips are so efficient that it doesn't even matter. And I think after a certain period of time, they sleep anyway. Like even on Macs, I know that it'll say you're utilizing, like Linux and Macs utilize like whatever resources are available. So it'll look like you're consuming a ton, which on Windows we look at and go, oh crap, I'm using 90% of my RAM, it's going to run so bad. On Apple, it kind of utilizes it to optimize the system, and then it'll base it off of memory pressure. So I think Apple or iPhones are the same way. So you don't have to worry about that, and it doesn't really affect your battery either. And as far as the Mac Windows thing, I'm agnostic. I use both. So I don't have I have a preference. I like working on a Mac because I can run Windows on Mac, but that comes with its own set of headaches. And ADBF, good morning, everyone. I think Carrie's next.
Good morning, Dakota. And it's one of the nice things about the, especially the modern operating systems for Macs is, you know, they use RAM in, you know, processors so much more efficiently. But there is a easy way to, you know, close your apps. It's part of the swiping thing, and it takes a little, I guess, getting used to how it works, but a short swipe up, you get the list of open apps, and then the app you want to close, you just click and hold on it with your finger and swipe all the way to the top, and it goes away. I think that's a good way to describe it. And, tea kettle's whistling, so I can go into my pour over number two. So I can go ahead and take it, and AZC.
up on gas and ready for the weekend. Maybe I'll have to get some more gas this weekend if I drive enough, but we'll see. Sean, I heard you say that you're going to run that computer through work. I didn't know if you were just getting a pirate computer that nobody knew about. You're going to start running stuff. I know sometimes people do that. It's off the network, but it's still a work computer. So if you need some help, let me know. But I understand if you're just going to get it through the standard chains of command. Over to you, Sean.
Currently connected to CM Network.
Yeah, basically, my techs can't utilize a county IT lockdown computer. It's impossible. They have to manipulate the computer operating system and add stuff and upgrade things and constantly, and there's just no possible way. So we've got a agreement with one of the only departments where we buy our own, we maintain our own, and never the two shall meet. We don't touch their network, and we don't want to, because there's nothing good comes out of our IT. And we maintain all our own stuff. We even have our own NAS and cloud-based stuff and everything. We just do everything ourselves, and we just to hell with it. But having said that, my guy's got to have, my guy's computers are coming up on 5 years old, so I gotta go through and buy them all new ones. And I said, at this time I'm getting one too, because I just can't. There's nothing I can't do on my own computer that my county computer allows me to do. And so it's just not worth the aggravation. So I'm just going to, and plus they charge the hell out of us. Every month they get charged a fee for the privilege of having a computer, an overpriced computer through them that's all locked down where I can't use it. It's like, boy, sign me up. Donald.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was pouring myself some coffee there. Yeah, your computers now, it sounds like that was what you're trying to do to get that that all-in-one radio that you want for when you decide to hack it in and retire. Sounds like you're trying to do the same thing with a computer with an all-in-one there. It does everything and not have to go through all those proprietary issues and so on and so forth. Like I said, I'm going to get my coffee going here and have a nice sip, and I'll probably be a little bit in better shape. I believe it goes to Dakota, Kerry, Anthony, Sean.
Those damn IT guys, always a pain to deal with. On another note, Sean, Anthony, I brought my R7, I remembered.
Oh, I think I got it right.
Yes, sir.
I guess so. Anyway, yeah, got my number two cup here and whatnot. And I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, well, maybe number two will help with the memory. anyway. Anthony, go ahead and take it. That ain't zesty.
All right, Dakota. I'm glad you remembered that thing. I want to check it out. What do you think? I'll be ordering one before the night's over. I am just pulling up at the office here. I will catch up with you guys a little later. Dakota, I'll shoot you a text in a few hours, and we'll figure out what's going on. I don't know what time you get out of work, but I'll probably be in your neck of the woods around 4:15, so we'll catch up a little later. This is KEA-RUH, and I will maybe catch you guys in the afternoon drive. See you later.
All right, Anthony, we'll catch you later. I don't know if you're going to be at the meeting tonight doing your orientation. I know Dakota is, but let's see, Donald may or may not be back from his coffee run, but go ahead.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
I'm back.
He's dead, so he doesn't do a whole lot anymore. Go ahead, Donald.
just for you guys that are in the crazy world of Motorola R7s. I see now, it just popped up in the last couple days, an X version for those of you that would prefer to be explosion-proof and intrinsically safe radio. So there's a newer version of the R7 out, and it's called the R7X. I just thought I'd pop in with that.
I think that's me. I think they're finally replacing the 7550E intrinsically safe, which is what, I think a blue one? But no need for me. I'm good with the one I got.
Real quick, you are correct, and the new X is blue as well.
Well, guys, I'd have to say the Motorola is too rich for my blood. I'm a poor boy. Retired, after all. Anyway, let's see. Anthony got out of there, I do believe. And after that, was it Donald? I think. Anyway, correct me if I'm wrong, or whoever, just jump in there. Anyways, let's see.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was transitioning to the portable as I hit work here. I'm listening. Go ahead, and by the time it comes back around, I should be in the door and back in the loop. W8FU. It always went from me to Dakota, so probably me to Donald. So go ahead and figure it out. I'll be back next round.
I guess I'll pick it up. the used Motorola market's not as bad as people think. You can get into them for the same, more or less, than a quality amateur unit.
Well, my morning brain didn't go to the used market, but I just typed in Motorola R7, and it's like, oh yeah, those are nice radios. They're brand new ones, but yeah, that's something to think about. I know I hear a lot of people talking about the Motorolas, I should say, you know, last few years that I've been into DMR and whatnot, and I've had a Hytera mobile rig for a while. That was pretty nice. Monobander, of course, but it was kind of a pain to program unless you actually bought the firmware license and software and all that. It's like, it's getting harder to find. I don't remember now what model that was, but had an opportunity to get my money back, if you will, on it, so that's what I did. Not that I, you know, sent it back or nothing, it's just somebody else wanted it more than I did. let's see. I was wrong on Donald, so I think it goes to Sean. We'll see if Sean's back in there. If not, we'll just toss it in the air and see where it lands. Anyways, let's see.
I need one more round. I'm in the office. I just got to get my computer opened up and logged in, and I'll be able to jump right back in. So give me one more. There'll be a few. See, Donald, why am I forgetting?
That's okay. No big deal. Yeah. Terry, Motorola's are out there. You can find good deals. I know Dakota found a good deal for his. And my XPRs that I bought in 2019, I got pretty much like on a fire sale out of New Jersey. New Jersey Sheriff's Department out there bought APXs and XPRs for their department. And to make a long story short, they found out the hard way that APXs and XPRs do not talk together because they're two different systems, EMR versus P25.
So they had a fire sale on the XDRs, and I was able to pick up a total of 6 radios, 2 mobiles and 4 HTs. And like I said, they're 6 years old, and when I went to Motorola to get them initially programmed, they offered me a DMR service, and I said, sure. And so I have a commercial Moto Turbo DMR account through them, and I've had it since then. But now in the last 18 to 20 months, I've gotten my amateur license, and I'm on DMR now with the MI5 as well as the AY Motorola Moto Turbo system. But there are radios that are out there. You just got to dig and look. And I'm not on Facebook anymore, but I remember them being on Facebook Marketplace was a good place. Obviously eBay, but you got to be careful of the sellers and everything else. But they're affordable. You just got to, you know, save your pennies and put aside some money. But, yeah, they're available. And if you can get one, grab one for sure.
Yeah, Gary, the Motorola's are the same way. You need their software, and it's kind of gatekept. You don't have to pay for it anymore, but you got to get the cable, obviously. OEM cables, like my R7 OEM cable was $97 or something, $75 or something stupid. You can get knockoffs, and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to roll the dice on that. But that being said, I have a Amazon special cable for my 5550D, and Amazon cable for my 7550, so I don't think you really need to spend that money. But the hardest part is you got to get a Motorola account, they got to convert it to business so you can download the software that you need. And but fortunately, this community, there's enough people with them, everyone's got the software now, so it's just like Hytera, it's all, you know, nickels and dimes.
Yeah, you know, there's an old hand buddy, and I think he's, they'd be considered Clinton County, I believe. He was a former Motorola guy that did a lot of radio installs for different agencies and whatnot. He was always big on the Hyteras, and as well as Motorolas and whatnot. But when I first got licensed, back in the late 90s, well, I guess I'll call him a mentor, a gentleman who is now the Silent Key. He was a Motorola radio guy. He did all kinds of stuff, and he had a lot of old stuff, you know, of course, from the 90s kind of thing. And he had a basement that was like a warehouse museum of Motorola. So I've always had kind of a fascination there, but I got too many other expensive hobbies, you might say. Oh, yeah, between air guns, firearms, and ham radio, it's like, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, which one do I want to spend money on now? Oh, anyway, we'll leave it at that. Well, let's see if Sean's got that computer fired up and ready to try again. Otherwise, we'll see. It ain't Zetsy.
Oh, yeah. I'm settled in now. But holy, firearms and air guns. You're one of those evil guys. Man, Dakota, we've been talking to him all morning, too. Hope none of it rubs off on us.
I may have to get an airsoft gun because I had to sell my 40 caliber because I don't have the grip strength anymore, so I don't know what the recoil like is on an airsoft. But, you know, we're not really allowed to have guns in my senior campus anyways. I don't miss it, but, you know, you guys talk about guns so much on here, guns and other things, and guns and ammo, and it's like, maybe I should get an airsoft or something and see what they have to say about that, just to protect myself, because we've had issues here. People get into the building in the middle of the night, somehow, some way, but who knows. I'm going to step out for a minute. I got some emails, text messages. I got to pop out real quick, so I'm going to skip around. W8RCY.
When we say air guns, we're talking about PCP, pneumatically charged, basically real guns that shoot non-powder burning projectiles. But airsoft, similar, kind of, sort of. Yeah, I know, what a bad guy, terrible. Sean, I talked to you, they changed the rifle restriction in Lower Michigan. Now you can use any bottleneck cartridge, 22 cal or larger, which is crazy to think about. So, working out a deal with a buddy. I'm doing a bunch of work for him. Allegedly, he's going to build me a new rifle. And why the hell is Romeo plain clothes right here?
Go ahead, Terry. I'll
get up. I had a psychedelic comment that I was going to make about rubbing off, but, we'll leave that one alone. Oh, that's what I was going to mention. Senior centers, living center, can't have firearms and whatnot. Something to think about. And I'm not exactly sure how trusting I would be of it, but in a situation where, if you're in an apartment environment and restricted and all that stuff, something to think about, that'd be good for shooting across the room is one of those, for a generic description, one of those Bernas. At least you can incapacitate them and then, club them over the head with a baseball bat or something. But something to think about, and I'm not exactly sure if those are air-powered, if you will, spring plunger type thing that launches projectile or not. I never really looked into them because I can have the real thing. And I'm out here in the country on top of it, so anybody comes trying to bust my door down in the middle of the night, I'll leave it at that. And, the rifle line elimination. I'm not sure exactly how I feel about that either. Unless I do have the permission to do private land, I don't even go remotely close to state land hunting anymore because there's just too many morons who shoot first, ask questions later, you might say. So we'll leave it at that. But private land down here, of course, woodchucks and whatnot. 260 does a great job on woodchucks and coyotes. So, but I got enough farmland not to worry too much about it. Anyway, go ahead, Sean. N8ZC.
Yeah, a couple things. Donald, please do not use an airsoft for self-defense. You get yourself in trouble. Just make somebody mad. You got really lucky and got him in the eye. You might take him out long enough to hit him over the head, yeah. But anything short of a shot to the eye, airsoft isn't gonna help you in any way. Yeah, like Dakota said, the air rifles we're referring to are pretty serious weapons. But and perhaps you just use the word airsoft, not specifically meaning airsoft. But, the rifle shotgun line dropping, that's interesting. I kind of liked it. I liked the extra challenge, and you had to, and it gave me an excuse to have another, a straight wall cartridge firearm, because, of course, I got to have one for the south, for south of the rifle shotgun line, right? But now I don't, so I can't justify keeping a cool, unusual cartridge. But I just, I question, what am I going to crack up my 308, and sit in North Oakland County with a 308? Yeah, so there's serious things I'm wondering about. Anyhow, the door just rattled here. I think my folks are starting to wander in. I'm going to go walk the shop. I'll be back. Don't talk bad about me. I'll be within an earshot. WAFU. Donald?
Well, another thing about having firearms here, real working type, is they have to not only be registered with the city of Madison Heights, but they also have to be registered with National Church Residences, my parents' senior campus company organization. And like I said, I've got some butcher knives I can slice some people open up with. Instead, but I just lost all my grip strength in my hand due to injuries from meat cutting, arthritis, tendonitis, nerve damage, things like that. The tip of my right thumb is partially amputated. The tendon in the knuckle below it was nearly severed. Not only did it ruin my ability to fire a handgun, but it also ruined a pretty good bowling career. I might have made PBA, who knows, one day. But, yeah, I have no interest in owning a gun anymore, and I feel quite safe and secure in here. If I misspoke about airsoft and what I meant by it, I do digress. Back to my emails.
At ADDF, I think that's everyone's concern at this point is, you got every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the Orange Army running around with a 30-06 in, you know, Bald Mountain State Recreation Area. That's probably not a good idea. I think they need to put some more governance on it. I think it should be private land only. I think there should be private land acreage restrictions. Like, if it's, you know, 5 acres, you probably shouldn't be using a bottleneck cartridge. You should still be limited to the straight wall. I don't know. I know that the DNR is desperately trying to get more people into the hunting outdoor world, but this is just getting a little bit sketchy. I mean, I consider myself a marksman, and even some of the places that I do hunt, I wouldn't be comfortable rattling off, a 243 or a 6mm of any sort. I shoot a 350 Legend. I shoot it fine. I took a deer last year, 296 yards with it, and down here in Macomb, Lapeer, Oakland County, I mean, good luck finding a shot much further than that's appropriate to take.
Buddy, you hit it right on the head. That's exactly my train of thought. Anytime I've ever hunted anything in this half of the state, you know, if you had 200 yards to shoot, you know, at 300 yards is somebody's house or a barn or whatever pasture with cows and horses in it, you know, and there's been enough deer fallen with just a good old-fashioned 12-gauge Foster slug. So, heck, for that matter, even a couple 20-gauges were with 20-gauge slugs, you know. So how far do you have to really shoot if you're... Well, I won't get on that soapbox, but you get my point. The one thing I would have to say is cartridges like, for example, 45-70, yeah, okay, that falls out of the realm just because it's a little long and considered a bottleneck, I do believe. But what difference really is that compared to a 450 Bushmaster, for example, or a 400 Legend? You know, the ballistics are pretty close, but, you know, I get it. I understand it, you know, why they did what they did with a lot of these modern cartridges. But when you look at the price tag on the modern cartridges and a rifle to shoot them, yeah, a slug barrel on a 12-gauge works just fine for me. But anyway, I digress. Well, let's see if we stirred any pique or interest of Sean there. If not, I think it goes to... Oh, crap, I'm going to lose... Duh. Maybe a third cup's in order. Anyways,
I have a question. Any iPhone people out here? running the app repeater phone?
Yes.
Yes.
I called you on the bat radio, Wally. You didn't answer. I was going to ask you this question. So it wants, I'm going to sign up with All-Star because it says All-Star Echolink, and I could live without Echolink. It wants my call sign, but then it wants a password. Does it want a password for a specific node, or do I create a password, or it doesn't specify? Because since it's All-Star, I'm thinking it wants one of my node passwords, but it ain't asking me what node. So maybe I'm misunderstanding this.
Let me look, and I'll call you back on the bad phone. Guys, carry on. WAVD.
Bad phone's not really set up right now, so call me on the bat radio.
Got it. Morning, everyone. Go ahead.
Bat radio.
Connected to CMN Network.
All right, sorry about that. I'm trying to get this iPhone set up. Oh, Dakota, earlier you said something about it's not the same. So when you slide up and you see all the apps that are running, you know, that it doesn't hurt to leave those up on an iPhone. But then what's the point? You know, and if you got 100 things that you've opened over the course of the last couple of days, you know, it's just a sea. Why even bother?
I'm not a fan of how Apple does that either. I think Android's got that locked down with the close all button. But with Apple, I mean, eventually you'll get to a point where you're sick of swiping up and killing them, and you'll just forget about them, and you'll notice no difference in performance or battery, and that's kind of where I got to. There's just so much optimization, memory, standby, all that crap on these new iPhones. And you say you don't have the latest and greatest. I mean, an iPhone 16 is still an iPhone 16. I mean, it's only a year and a half old. You'll be fine. You can use two fingers, so if you swipe up and you get to that screen, you can use both thumbs and start, you know, doing two at a time. I know it's annoying, but, like, I got a new phone, same day you did. I switched to AT&T, and I probably have every single app I had to sign into open still, and I haven't even noticed it.
And forgive me, guys, I don't mean to sidebar us here, but, well, I guess I do, actually, but... But then it begs the question, what's the point, right? I mean, if you, usually that would be to get to things that you're, you know, quickly get the things that you're using currently, right? And, you know, if it's just this endless sea of things that you've ran over the course of the last several days or weeks or months, well, then what's really the point of having them up? Does it do anything by having those up like that just to annoy you and clutter things up?
Look at it this way. If you want quick access to apps you've been using, use the bottom bar where you swipe up and swipe left and right to quick swipe between apps. That's like your recently used. You can flip through them real fast left and right. The swipe up to kill, I'm pretty sure that's more geared towards like your app's not responding or you're having issues. So I don't think it's a menu you're meant to frequently get into.
All right, it could just be an adjustment thing, so I'm not too worried about it. All right, Wally's calling me over there on the other one. I'm going to try to get to this. I'm going to get this repeater phone up, though.
I think it's just you and me there, Dakota. So I have to say that I'm so used to killing apps after I'm done using it that I don't even think twice about it anymore, but sometimes I get two or three open, but past that I usually don't worry about it. The one I usually do leave open, especially lately, is the Ballistics app that I use, and only because I've been working on a couple projects, and now that I'm kind of done with them for the time being, I shut the app down. So, in repeater phone, I'm going to have to go look that one up because I do not know about that one. N8ZC.
Sadly, I haven't been in any of my Ballistics apps in a long time because I haven't gotten any new toys that have needed it. Things dialed in and set and forget. I shoot Vortex, Fury HD 5000s with Applied Ballistics integrated. So basically once I load, I can load three rifles onto them. I just flip between A, B, and C as needed, which I don't really shoot more than three rifles at a time ever, or even have more than one at a time. So the profiles live on those, and they're dialed, and I just kind of click and range and make my adjustment that way. But yeah, repeater phone, so when I got into the amateur radio hobby, I'm like, I'm not using anything that's not a radio with RF, which I'm still very, you know, bullheaded that way. I don't care for nodes unless I have to. I don't care for any IP stuff if I don't have to. But repeater phone in a pinch, if you need to, like, I was doing the ARPSC set a couple weeks ago, and I had to run into Home Depot with my wife, and I couldn't hear dispatch from inside. I had my R7, and it was in and out, and I didn't want to crank the radio in Home Depot, so I just put my AirPods in and connected with repeater phone, and I was listening to the FBI network, so it's very convenient, especially since you always have your phone in your pocket, and your phone usually has better reception than a radio if you're in a building.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious about a lot of that stuff. Not that I really use it, because I have to agree, I prefer RF over IP stuff and whatnot, even though I do have a couple of hot spots, but quite frankly, they haven't even been powered on in at least 2 weeks. And, you know, but, you know, gives me something to do. And I've do some side work, stock refinishing and painting, and what I refer to as impressionism camel. So I do some of that kind of stuff. And a guy who did a custom 22 long rifle that he wanted to build in honor of his grandfather who gave it to him. You know, so it was kind of the reason why I had the ballistics app open to kind of figure out, you know, what kind of distances to expect. And, you know, once we hit it zeroed, you know, say, well, put this much into it in MOA and see where you hit and, you know, play around like that. And then with my 260 and varmints, you know, if I get a chuck out there at 300 yards, whatever, I'll kind of like, what was that again? Dial it in and, you know, go for it. But, yeah, Vortex stuff, I like Vortex. As a matter of fact, I just paid for the pro version of the Geoballistics is what Vortex puts out. I've been a Vortex fan for quite a while now and have a few of their optics, but I haven't paid much attention to the Fury stuff, but it looks quite interesting. Oh, let's see. I think that was all I wanted to cover. So we'll see if anybody else is out here or back in. Hey, Zetsy.
Hey, KJL. Good morning, fellas. WARCY, I'm going to be checking out. Carrie, welcome to the morning party, I guess you could call it. Tom, I hear you in there. Good morning to you, sir. Safe travels on the road. Dakota, all the best to you. Sean, Anthony, everybody have a great day. Again, I got the day off. No physical therapy. They canceled. And I did send them a quick response by saying, oh, snow day because of the weather. WARCY, we're clear.
Catch you later, Donald. Tom, good morning. I'm going to jump out, pump some gas, be right back, NADDF.
Well, Donald, you have a great day. And Tom, go ahead. NADZC here.
Good morning, guys. Hey, heard you on the radio talking about firearms and stuff like that. I own none. I'd like to get one, but I want more radios. So, that's my stuff. eventually I'll get a nice 1911. I do know somebody who's selling one, though.
I'm a big fan of the 1911s. That is my all-time favorite. I do have one. And it's always been one of those handguns that, as a kid, I would sit in front of my Pistols of the World encyclopedia that I had, early 70s probably, sit there and go through that. Oh, I want one of these. Oh, I want one of these. Oh, I want one of these. And here I am, 55-plus years later. I still do that. In a different book. We have the Internet now, so... Yeah, no, I've always been a big fan of the 1911s. I have full size. I've had some of the smaller versions in the past and whatnot, but yeah. Matter of fact, to celebrate Obama's second term inauguration, I celebrated it by buying a Kimber. Oh, anyway, we'll leave that alone. But yeah, I reload for the 45 as well and whatnot. But I'm a fan of older, time-tested cartridges to begin with, let alone firearms as well. I have a big fascination on that. So new stuff, I'm curious about it, but I like the old stuff personally. Even though I have a 260, that's not real old, but what the heck. Oh, let's see if... Dakota's done filling up the gas tank with all that gold. And curious what the gas prices are. They're saying on the news that crude oil is going down, so we'll see if which direction gas prices are going today. Oh, anyway. Let's see. We'll see if Dakota's back. If not, go ahead, Tom. Let's see.
Can I get in here for a check?
Take it away, Sean. KCK Show.
Sorry, apologies. I've got a new iPhone here, and I'm just seeing how it works. So let's see here. There I am. Okay, direct client. Okay. Got the repeater phone working here. Wally, I'll be right. I'll be right back. W8FU.
I think Dakota's still filling up their vehicle. And I heard Wally on there too this morning. Hey, KKPO.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Go for it. NHNC.
Working with Sean in a different frequency. He's working on his repeater phone app, which is really, really a great app. And Tom, you worked really, really late last night. You still got to do all that driving today?
I got, where am I going to go? Well, first, I'm going to go to Portage. Take care of an issue there real quick, and then Battle Creek, and then I was supposed to do Kentwood, but that got squashed, got moved till tomorrow, so somebody else is handling that tomorrow, and then I should be home in time for the meeting.
I am back briefly.
Hello, briefly.
$100 to start my day. I love how expensive gas is right now. Tom, I'm going to call Yacy today and get an update on that, by the way.
I'm not too concerned. I know it's going to take them some time. I may remember all the issues with the 500.
Yeah, there's not much expediency for their service department. I don't know who else is in here. Sorry, I don't mean to step on anyone. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to bow out here for a little bit. I got to go take care of something. And another cup of coffee, I think. Anyway, you guys have a good morning. Be safe out there. And $100, Yep, that answered my question. I was wondering how bad the price of gas was, even though they tell us crude oil is going down. Right. Okay. Anyway, you guys have a good morning. Let's see.
I think we all should have invested in fuel or in crude oil when we were younger. And we'd all be sitting pretty.
Good talking to you, Kerry. I'll catch you later. And, yeah, I don't know. I got a Costco membership just for this. Yes, what's going on? I left the house this morning. It was $4.99 at the local gas station. It was $4.49 at Costco. So turning into one of those people where I'll inconvenience myself by about 15 minutes just to save 50 cents a gallon.
Well, to save 50 cents a gallon, I would say that was an economical inconvenience that's necessary. NHZC, I'm out of here.
Yeah, we have BJ's and a Sam's Club membership, so whatever one my wife gets is where she gets her gas at. Then I got a Marathon app that, as I fill up, I can get anywhere from 10 cents to a dollar off a gallon. So I'll give that to my daughter because she's got a big old truck like you do, Dakota. And of course, my work van, that's all fully paid for. And then my Panda, you know, don't drive it that much, so I don't put much fuel in.
I'm very thankful that I did not get a 2500 like I had originally wanted, because that would have been about half the gas mileage I'm getting now, maybe a little bit better, maybe 12. Instead of 20, and bigger tank, so I dodged a bullet there. But yeah, this is stupid. I'm ready for this crap to go down. It seems like it's every summer. I know it goes up every summer, but this is just dumb at this point. I mean, I'm only spending $100 a week on fuel, but I liked it more when it was 60, not 100. I got a call coming in. Be right back. That was a quick one.
I say mine are never that quick.
Fortunately, they just needed a door code.
Okay, so that was quick. Yeah, it looks like I'm getting 19 cent cash back at the Marathon on Miller Road in Schwartz Creek. So that'll add to my outside coinage.
My bad, I didn't hear that. I'm pulling in the car wash. Well, Tom, I got my FT60 for my orientation tonight. I'm going to FPP the, FPP my criteria, front panel program, a radio in front of another ham.
Oh, yeah, you'll do that tonight at the meeting. You know how to do that. That's nice and easy.
Yep, and then I gotta do the verbal difference between encode and decode. And then other than that, it'll be level one.
Alright, now I'm on your all-star note. Yeah, I just finished my ICS 200. I had all the other stuff done, just trying to get the 200 finished. And now I'm level one, and I got parts of level two, but I'm not gonna go too far on that. It'll be a while before I get my general.
I have to double check what I have left on level 2. I think I got to do a PL-259 termination. I know there's some ARPSC specific stuff that I have to do, like keep like an IC-214 logbook and do a public event, stuff like that. So those are going to be the difficult ones for me because that means I have to be around to participate.
Gotcha. Well, I don't know. I guess the scent might have been one of them. Be right back. Casey, get you up.
At 8, DBS.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Testing. Is this working?
There he is.
Got my ground wire hooked up. Got my repeater phone working. Little by little, making the transition.
I think eventually, once you're fully settled, you will enjoy it. I struggled initially switching from Android to iPhone, but now I don't think I could go back.
I believe they got a lot of things that were that turned me off years ago to iPhone. I believe a lot of that's been resolved, and we'll see. So I'm going all in. Love my MacBook. Always have. Never gave up on the MacBook, but the iPhone, I took about a 15-year sabbatical from last time I tried one. So now I'm back in the iPhone, clearly in the iPhone camp. So, all right, let me finish up here. I'll be back.
Well, that's good. I think you you took time off and you let it mature. But I am pulling to the office here, so I'm going to clear out. I will catch you or see you this afternoon at ADVF.
KCKJL.
KCKJL. W-A-T.
Morning, Tom. Good morning.
Yeah, I won't be in here too long because I'm going to be going away from the repeater here. So, I wanted to stop in and say good morning. That note, Farming and Tools instead of Southfield. Well, anyways, any plans for your weekend, Tom? I think I'm going to take tomorrow off. Don't think I've got any. I think I'm just going to play some radio.
You're going to take the day to play at your radio and drill out your mic a little bit more there? Because you're on your Linko, right?
No, I'm on 2720. Why, is my audio kind of low?
Yeah, it's kind of low and a little skinny, I guess you can say. Almost like you're talking through a pipe or something. What's your 2720? Is that another ITOM or is that something else?
No, it's an ICOM, and I do have to announce that I need to check the settings on some of the audio here, too, because it can be like a narrow audio setting, too, as well, so I'll have to double-check that. I don't want to do that currently while I'm driving, getting into the menu. It's a little hard to see when I'm driving, and I don't want to end up getting cracked up or anything like that, because I'm just looking at the display. Priority.
Yeah, you got like a little bit of a high pitch on there. Or you're a little farther. I mean, I have to turn my volume up to hear you. Kind of sounds distant, I guess you can say.
Well, that just coupled with my my natural voice, it's just kind of a nasal sound, you know, low operator.
Okay, we'll call it operator error. How's that sound? So you said you're taking tomorrow off? Is that what you're doing?
Roger, roger. And I get one more day for the holiday weekend, so we're slow, and it's there, so I guess I'll take it here, just drag it out. So it's supposed to be a little cooler, I guess, for the temperatures. As long as it won't rain, I'll be all right. I got some antenna work to do. I got to kick my dipole back up, so I got HF again. But got to get another VHF, UHF antenna. The one I'm currently using, I'm only using for receiving my SDR currently. So that's why I don't have anything set up in the home here. I'm using it for receive full time. So I'm going to get another one up just for transmitting.
Gotcha. And I gave my SDR away to a new ham so he can mess with it.
the software with the file that I submitted to listen. Although I probably got quite a bit in there. It's probably overwhelming for a lot of people, though.
No, I never had a chance to mess with it. I had other, I got so much stuff on my plate right now, next to impossible. I mean, that's why I'm usually radio silent on the weekends. So I'm doing other projects or taking care of other stuff. I'm still trying to modify my Explorer, getting stuff set in there and gotta get in there and try to do the light bar and see if I can shut off some of the strobes on it through the software. I haven't had a chance to do that. I got thank you cards I got to finish writing out for my mother-in-law's funeral, and just one thing after another. And plus, my grass is so high, I got to go, tackle that tomorrow. Can't do it right now. She's got another couple weeks before she can actually do a lot of activities. So I'm cutting the grass, and taking care of the backyard, all the other stuff that she normally does. So she can't, because she can't bend or stoop or lift anything or any excessive exercise. That's what's entailed. I'll probably have a barbecue this weekend, but we'll see how that goes. Usually it's just me and my wife, my daughter, her boyfriend at times, and my neighbors. Kind of just gather together and make one big barbecue for the day. KZKKO. I'm not sure what receiver you're at, but you might want to change it. Where are you heading out to today, though?
Well, I may have to just tie the ribbons on it, Tom. I'm heading west, and I'm telegraphing 696 out towards Farmington.
Yeah, frequency are you on? I got to be going back and forth there. Usually Warren's pretty good up to a certain point, and then I switch over to Detroit, right where you're at.
KJO.
Try this. K8KJO, W8RIT.
Yeah, that's a lot cleaner. So you're taking a vacation day. I've taken a couple vacation days. I got so many, I don't know what to do with them all. And I lost you.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
WABD is mobile.
NHCAF.
WAFU, KPR.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KD8VSI, good morning.
Guten Morgen!
That's my only German.
Well, I do have Nietzsche and Diesenhosen. Not in these pants.
And Cowboy
Guy's
house. Have no money.
That's all I got. But it actually comes in handy. I'm just crossing for your 25 minutes.
All right, very good. I just left my subdivision, so you'll probably meet me there.
Cool. I have my the new stubby antenna, the same one that CFA Dutch has, and I might mess with that. I've got a couple minutes before you get there. I'm going to pull this radio up, though, because obviously the connector's in the back, and then I got to roll things. But no big deal. It's not a new bug.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that performs. You are pretty darn scratched right now. I mean, I can understand everything you're saying, but there's a lot of scratch in there. So if we switch that out, we could probably tell on the way back if there's a better, worse, or the same.
Yeah, that'll be a nice quick test. It should be cleaning up now. I was down in one of the valleys coming across here. I'm just coming up on Shelby. So it should be getting clearer the closer I get, obviously. But it's just my scratchy nature where I live.
Yep, it did clean up a little bit, so yeah, you could tell you were in a dip there.
French onion dip.
All right, on the 25-mile westbound at Communities and Shaners.
Happy and Roger. Easy, easy.
KD8VSI.
W8CPM. Listening.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KE8SI, KZ8. Is this new stubby working?
Yeah, it is, but pretty choppy at the moment, but it's probably me too, because everything else is choppy. So give me a minute to pull out of here. Okay, E8BSI. All right, I'm out on the road now. Go ahead and come back and see how you sound and how am I sounding to you. If you receiving all right?
Yeah, you sound great. Oh, Greg. You sound great, Greg. as Sean would say, a little bacon fry. No, you sound great. Your transmission. Wonderful how this sound. I'm purposely talking a little bit longer. I just crossed over my own.
Okay, yeah, still choppy. And I want to say it's about the same as it was. So, that was kind of what I expected.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it works out. And if not, I like the mount, so if the little antenna doesn't work out, I'll just get a new NMO and put that up there. So we'll see. Cool. Well, thanks for having a bite with me, listening to all my woes. okay.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's been a while. We needed to catch up anyway, so... Yeah, you can always get the diamond like I got, an NMO or a Tucama 2x4, and then rotate between the two, depending on what your road trip is for your needs. But in the meantime, you know, if that's the same as what you had, that generally works out for you. So that should be good. All right, we'll talk to you whenever. KZ8, ZSI.
KZ8, please.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Level one, I'll be satisfied for right now. It allows me to do, know, have my deployment abilities.
Yep, that's cool. Yeah, I've been doing a little studying for my general. I need to get off my butt and get that done, because it's actually something I want. I want to be able to work HF and not just 10 meters, since everybody says 10 meters dying. So, you know, other than level 2, I want it for other reasons. So I'm going to continue to work on that.
And once it slows down a little bit, you know, I get a little bit more time, I'll start working on my general again. You know, I was doing a little bit. I was up to 75% proficiency or 76 on the test guides. So I'll get into it a little bit more, and then you know, start working on that again. Yeah, but I got the county stuff that I'm doing. I got stuff with the city, with this whole construction thing that's going on, and we got another new construction coming across my plate soon enough.
Man, you're close. A little bit more effort and you'd have it. Yeah, I just started like a week or two ago rolling through the questions, and I'm not anywhere near that. I haven't seen even 100% of the questions yet, so I got a ways to go. But if I put the same amount of time in that I have been week to week, I think in the next couple months, if not sooner, I should be able to get after it.
Yeah, I think once we're totally done with my late mother-in-law's place and getting that out of my hair, or my wife's hair, then, you know, and work on other projects. That's just a slow process, but slowly getting there. Plus, my wife wants to do a little bit more out of the house. You know, we did a run on the Sunday. That was a lot of fun. You know, it was me, her, Wally, his wife, my coworker Brad and his wife, and his son and daughter-in-law, and then a couple other coworkers from the airport. It was like 10 of us that did this walk, and it was a lot of fun. Try to get another one done.
That's cool. You guys are doing, like, charity 5Ks, or what are you doing?
It's a 5K walk. You can run, you can jog, you can walk. I choose to walk. I can't run. If I run, I'll die, so I just walk.
Are they for charity, or you guys just found a 5K loop somewhere and you meet up?
No, it's for animal rescue. And then there's one that we're going to do again, my wife and I, and see if Wally and Marion want to join us and other people in the fall. It's a 5K wine walk. So you do the 5K through the orchard. And at the end, you get a glass of wine, either red or white, you know, from one of their wines that they got there. So it's a free wine tasting. It's kind of neat. You know, so we'll probably do that one. That one's in October. You kind of dress up for Halloween, you know, if you want. People come in some wild and crazy costumes. But you have a lot of fun with that one, too.
Yep, those are fun. I haven't done one in a long time, but at one point in my life, I was at one of those every weekend.
Connected to CMN Network.
Well, my wife is really into all, I mean, which is good. She doesn't do a lot of walking, and she should, so this gets her motivated, and she enjoys it.
Yeah, everybody needs something. I need to find some motivation right now. I used to do a lot of running and a lot of training for big, long races and stuff, and just do not have the drive to do it right now, which is unfortunate because I enjoyed it and actually enjoyed the process, but just can't seem to muster up the will to do it.
Me either.
Well, you should do the one in at Westview Orchard, Sean. See if Andy will do it with you. I mean, I'm keeping the weight down, Anthony. And I said I didn't do the pause for a clause or whatever it is last year, but we definitely signed up for it this year. And then we're going to do the wine walk in October. Unless you find something else, we may do another one. Who knows? It's only $30 a person, so why not?
Yep, I hear ya. It's, I don't know. Just gotta, I have the time. I just managed to do nothing or convince myself I'm busy and, don't get off my butt and go do anything, but maybe this warm weather will change my opinion. We'll see.
NADBF.
What's up, Dakota?
Oh, it's Dakota out there. I was on it just when it ran through there. I thought it was Sean. How about you, Dakota, doing a 5K?
It's going to be a no for me, dog.
Hey, at least he knows what he wants. I mean, geez. Dakota, I'm looking at 4:15. It is apparently impossible to get over there from Troy at this time of day.
I'm gonna be there in like 3 minutes. I'm at one of my planks.
You guys meeting up for chow?
Yep, getting a little food before meeting. All right, Dakota. Yeah, I'm 16 minutes out, so I'll be there as soon as I can.
I haven't even eaten lunch today. I'm so hungry. And don't rush, dude. We got plenty of time.
I'm going to hit my house about 5:04 is what it says. Go in there, I'm going to let the dogs out, let them do their thing so I don't have any surprises when I walk in the door. And then shut them back in and then transfer over to my car, the Explorer, and then shoot down to the meeting.
Oh man, we get to see the infamous black and white. I'm ready for it.
I have to front panel program a radio and verbally describe the difference and importance of encoding and decoding.
Ooh, like that's going to be so difficult for you. I may bring one of my ball fangs so it could be nice and easy.
I have my FT60 that I can pretty much program it drunk, high, blindfolded, unless handed, so I should be okay.
Hey, easy on us left-handers. Jeez.
Oh, you're cool. My wife is left-handed.
Do you buy left-handed guns?
Nope, right eye dominant. Super lucky with that.
Yeah, well, I'm right-handed and I'm left eye dominant, so there's that.
I am
right-handed and
right
eye dominant.
Left eye dominant, and it was like a celebration when he got, as an adult, his first left-handed gun, you know, because they were always just hand-me-downs and whatever he could scrounge together from uncles and grandpas and stuff like that. And then, you know, he grew up, had a real job, and bought a gun that worked for him, and he never looked back. It was hilarious.
My buddy, my college roommate and teammate, actually, I remember when he bought his Superbike Eagle, it was his first left-handed gun ever, and he was beside himself.
Well, I am right-handed and right-eye dominant, so fire with my right hand, and I scope out at my right eye. So I guess I'm all messed up.
No, normal is right-handed, right-eye dominant. And I just happen to shoot and do multiple other things right-handed, but I write things, like write with a pen, with my left hand and scissors and all that kind of stuff left-handed. And pretty lucky, though. Right-handed, if I hold a hockey stick or golf or shoot or anything like that, just because all that stuff's so much more common than left-handed versions of it.
So you're like a pretend lefty.
Yep. I got a couple of hilarious things to attribute that, but they're not appropriate for the air, so yes, pretend lefty.
You golf right-handed? Is that what you said, Anthony? KJO.
Yep, that's exactly what I said. KRUH. Dakota, you are lucky that you are sticking around, because 53 at 59 is just absolute gridlock. I just got off the 53, and I'm very happy I didn't have to go to 21.
And WHRIV. Well, I'm kind of glad to know that I'm in good company also, being a lefty, too. Let me ask you guys this question here. Which hand would you send CW with? I write with my left, but send with my right hand. So that's kind of nice. I don't have to keep setting the pencil down to send and then write down whatever I'm hearing.
You know, I never thought about that. I would probably have to put the paddle down to write with my right hand.
Hey, guys, I got to take a phone call. I'll catch up with you later. It's K-A-R-U-H.
All right.
I don't do CW, so I wouldn't even know, but I was trying to get him to write on it. Writing, you know, right to Steve, and then is he on the right percent? That's how I would see it.
And then he would always, not the boss, your coworker would always question me about, you know, using both feet to drive, you know, for the clutch. And he's like, what happens if you were to get in an accident? Which foot would you want to use? I'm just like, I don't even know how to answer that question.
You guys doubled there a bit.
Wait, your turn, David.
I was being kind and not talking when I shouldn't have. I guess I should have done that firstly. Well, anyways, yeah, I was just saying I had something else that was a little bit more stupid on the other side of the spectrum. I used to do landscaping when I was younger, and my boss had one of the work vehicles, one of the work trucks. He bought a pickup truck that was a stick. So the other coworker would ask me just questions like, you know, we talked about, you know, being left-handed, right-handed, and, you know, throwing a ball and such, batting and all that. But then he would ask me, you know, because I would use both feet to drive, you know, one foot for the clutch and the other foot for the brake gas. He would ask me, like, well, what happens if you were to get an accident? What foot would you want to use? I didn't even know how to answer that question. I'm just like, I have to set myself back so much for that.
You have to clutch with the left foot, obviously, and you brake and gas with the right. There's no other way. But I'm going to jump out. Anthony should be here any minute. I'm going to go get us a table, and I'm going to start drinking a couple beers and eating some food. So I will catch you later. At 8, DBS.
All right, Dakota. I'll see you at the meeting. KCKJO. Anthony, I'll see you at the meeting. KCKJO on that one. 73 to both of you guys. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, 7-3 there, gentlemen. Yeah, I think about the only thing I was able to respond back to him is like, well, if you use both your left hand and right hand on the steering wheel, if you were to get in an accident, which way would you want to turn? Anyways. I kind of like it, though, being a lefty, though. Nice thing about it. Although I was just hearing a comedian going on about us lefties, and he came up with some other generic terms, you know, for half of us lefties, like a bunch of ink smudgers.
Well, one, you wouldn't be able to drive a stick. Well, maybe you can. There's levers and stuff that you can have installed, you know, in order to drive and shift. So you would keep your left foot so you can have the clutch, and the lever would be on the right-hand side. You push forward for gas and pull back for brake. So you would push on the lever to gas up, release it, push your left foot down, and use your right hand to shift in the next gear, and then push the lever back in. There's all different possibilities, honestly, thinking about it.
Yeah, well, the other thing you could do, although it's probably not recommended, would be just float the gears. Yeah, if you're good enough, you can actually, you don't even need to use the clutch. Just have to be gentle, but that's probably not the preferred way of doing that. I've done it just to do it, but not that I would really want to make a habit of it. So I'm off the...
Yeah, well, let's just say I don't want to find out.
...extended weekend.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Probably have some fun, but I've got a list of things. Not only just radio, but I got a list of projects I want to do around the house. But just probably concentrate on one thing for sure over this weekend and get my 2720 channels all set up. I'm just going to save what I've got and put that in a different file and just start off fresh and put in the ones I want. And I've got some in there that are not for transiting. You know, I've got some like for, for listening for Sarnia vessel traffic, you know, sorry, Dad, some aeronautical frequencies like for Detroit City Airport. But I'm going to get into the ones that I know of that are operational and still working. Okay, I think I've got one in there for the old IRS repeater. So that's kind of outdated there.
That's a wonderful story. Yeah, I just got enough frequencies in mind to do what I need to do. You know. If I need something else, then I'll program it in there. But if I'm on the west side, I'm hardly on the radio anyways, you know, because I'm always on GMRS or something with Brad. But I do listening here and there. KCKJ.
Hey, that's something I was going to ask you. For his antenna, what are they doing? Why are there two vertical sections off of the mount there? Just kind of curious. Do you happen to take a look? Are they doing, you know, the phasing or something? Or is it like, you know, one for GMRS and then something just a little bit shorter for amateur radio on 70 centimeters? I've never seen an antenna like that before.
Are you talking on a mobile antenna?
Yeah, the antenna that Brad has on his truck for GMRS.
One is VHF and the other is UHF. And the radio that he has is capable of VHF, UHF, and DMR. That's my TYT MD9600, but I got it programmed strictly for GMRS.
I didn't know that it was for VHF, although yeah, I think it does have a coil there, so that's probably what they did there, because I was thinking that they were roughly about the main links and such.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent antenna. I mean, I saw another one I got that has vertical and four horizontals for UHF. You know, I mean, I got a bullet antenna that I can put on my NMO mag that is 2 meter 440.
W8RIT. Yeah, I was looking a few weeks back, both at Comet and Diamond for their website, and I was looking to see if I could get a UHF-only antenna. I don't recall seeing one, either one. I think Diamond had one, but it was for the GMRS band, slightly higher, so I guess you had to step off a little bit, but I was looking to see if I could find one just for UHF, but didn't see any there. Still kind of looking, I've got to go back take a look. I'd still like to find one for a 5/8 wavelength, just for 2 meters, wouldn't mind having one. A friend of mine had one years ago for his mobile, and that thing worked superbly. I'm like, I was flabbergasted how well that that antenna worked, especially since it was 5/8 wavelength, you know, keeping the pattern a little bit lower to the ground, which is, you know, pretty useful when you're talking for terrestrial and not for any satellite work.
Well, why do you want just a single band antenna? What happens if you want to expand? That's why all of my antennas are all dual band. And they do just fine for me.
Well, generally, it's not really terrible that I wouldn't get one. If I was looking for one that, you know, didn't have coils, so it wouldn't be any form of introduction of loss, you know, into the antenna system. I was just thinking just have some more for resonance for UHF, because I was going to be using it not for a dual band, our dual band radio. Eventually, I'll probably get, I'm probably going to get a Motorola, whether it be the 45 or the 5550. And pretty much with that, I'm just going to be on UHF. So that's, you know, what I wanted that for, just for UHF for that one there, too. Other than that, though, for dual band, 2 meter 440, I've got my personal favorite, you know, one that I'm currently using. It's always worked out very well. Broken a couple resonators off some other ones too, so had to buy some other ones. But I like the SPD7. That's kind of my personal favorite. I told Dakota I had one Diamond SPD7900, which according to their specs had better gain. But in comparison between that antenna and the FPV7. The FPV7 worked much, much better, and it was cheaper.
Oh, no, I got a... On my car, I got a... I forgot what model Larson I got on it, and it works just fine. And then I bought this other one that's got a BNC connection with an NMO mag mount. And, that one only does like 150 and up, I think 150 to 174 for VHF, so it's totally not capable of 2 meter. And I use that for my UHF rig, a UHF GMR, and it does fantastic for that, so that's no big deal to me. So then I got a bullet antenna that does 2 meter 440. Then I got my Larson dual band, and that one works phenomenal for 2 meter and 440. It does quite well. So I lean towards the Larsons now. They're a little bit more higher end, but well worth the extra couple bucks.
You're connected to CMN Network.
That may be my faulty opinion, but I didn't really think Larson was high-end. I thought they were, you know, I wouldn't say bargain basement, but I thought they were a little bit more on the cheaper end of the spectrum here. I don't know, I haven't really, you know, taken too great of a look at it, but from what I had seen before, I didn't really think they were, you know, super great quality or anything like that. But all in all, though, it's really just a piece of wire. that piece of metal up in the air acting as the antenna, though.
Yeah, well, I got a tram on the roof. I got a Larson from my VHF P25. And I got an MR-77, which I think is a Comet. Or it's a Diamond, but I think it's a Comet. And that is for my Yaesu. And it seemed to be working pretty well. KCK Joe for ID. Wow, what is going on with this traffic?
Where are you at? Are you heading over to MISD shortly for the meeting here in that area? That's not too bad here. I'm rolling down 8 miles. Not too much traffic, but it was going a little bit slower earlier.
No, I'm on 69 eastbound coming from Kalamazoo. So I'm over here in the Burton area, Burton, Flint, Grand Blanc, and it's just, you know, must be something happening in traffic, so it is what it is. So when I get home, I just gotta let the dogs out and then throw them back in the house, grab my car, and go.
Let me ask this, Tom. You know, for the Panda, how big is your alternator? Any idea how many amps? Because I'm guessing that predominantly they use the larger alternator. Because they got to supply much, much more power, you know, for the overhead lights and radio and radar, et cetera, you know, computer. So that was a nice thing I did, too. I used to have some Crown Vic myself earlier. So it was always kind of, that was the first thing I normally would do is I would go and pick up a larger amp, or I'm sorry, basically, so it's because a larger amount of current here. Get sidetracked here with watching out for traffic here as people are cutting off.
I believe it's got 120 amp or 125 amp alternator. All the light kits or all the lights are all LED strobes. So it doesn't draw as much current compared to the old strobe kits where you need a double battery. She has the capability of a double battery. And plus I got the 3.7 liter in it, which is only available in the intercept units. So, and she's all beefed up. You know, nothing's changed on her.
Is it pretty electronically quiet? I'm just kind of curious, you know, maybe like we talk about the LEDs, I'm just wondering if that produces any noise to your radios. Hopefully not.
No, that's why they went to the LEDs. Because they're more energy efficient. Still has a big alternator on. She's still got a big alternator. She's got a big radiator, too, and a big fan in there for cooling. But, no, it's, there is no noise in an LED. An LED flashes, an LED flashes, you don't even hear it because it's a diode. It's not a strobe. You know, so there's no strobe kit in there. It's all done, as a matter of fact, it's all computer controlled. I got a interface in behind the seat that I could plug my laptop into and change the flash patterns and everything. So, yeah, there's no noise whatsoever. All you hear is when you flip the switch to light it up, turn on all the lights, is a click from the relays, and that's about it.
WARIT. About that, because I've got a couple light strips that are exceptionally electronically noisy. I was going to put one above my stack above the radios, and then I had to take it out because it was it was terrible. So I don't know. I think maybe some of them better for energy, yes, but I think some of them, depending on how you power them, depending on their able to flicker or turn on or off, I think that can cause more noise. If they're doing, you know, big square wave as far as determining when it's powered on, as far as brightness and
I mean, I don't even hear the relay switch unless I fold down the back seats, and then I can hear one click, and that's the relay trigger to set off the strobes. Besides that, that thing is quiet as can be. I don't hear anything. That's what's nice. That's it. It doesn't draw that much current off of it. Even if I lit everything up and turn on every light in there, I mean, the flashers, there's headlight flashers, and that's under the hood. But everything's pretty quiet. You know, even I got a 3,200 watt inverter that I hook up, and that thing is even quiet. And the car doesn't even stutter with that.
Yeah, that's pretty nice to have then too, as well. Just for the convenience, you can use it for anything else that you want to power for, basically. Well, maybe 3,200. Yeah, you could probably even use a refrigerator.
100%. I mean, I use it in my work van here, and hook it up to the battery, and I ran a 1,000-watt microwave and didn't even dent it.
Yeah, I wish I would have snagged mine out of the old van here. I don't think any of us have. I think some of us have taken some other components. When I turned it in, I made a mention about that, and I said, yeah, I wish I would have had time to grab the power inverter out of it. I said, well, we probably would have had a charger company come in. But they had a whole checklist of things that they would check on, even our GPS and stuff. So, I guess they would charge our company. But, well, they can charge them. That's all right. As long as they pay, not me.
Well, the ones in the van are only, the Mavericks have a 750-watt inverter. The one in this van here has 1,000-watt, and I think my other one of my other vans had 1,000-watt in it. I haven't seen anything more than 1,000-watt in these vehicles, just enough to charge, tool batteries and things like that.
Yeah, it's not like we're using heavy power tools with large motors or anything like that out of the van, or even without it. Well, I say I got some progress to do around the house here, and do some programming. I heard Quick talk about doing some front panel programming, just like a test for a proficiency level for ARPSIC.
Part of the task book for level one for ARPSIC, and level one that makes it deployable, because you got all the FEMA stuff done and all the other prerequisites. KACAK Joe.
I just have to watch up, pause here, watching out for people at this intersection. It was red, everybody wanted to go through it, and then it turned green, and nobody wanted to go through it. Weird. Well, not too far from the homestead here. So I'm probably going to do a little radio myself when I get here. The other thing I want to try doing is get my dipole back up. I'm going to break up my swing shot in the line up over the tree here. And then probably get some test cones up in the attic here for reception. And then I can get my VHF, UHF antenna back for transmitting purposes, what it should be. That way I won't be so noisy into the repeater having to operate extra class portable with the AC in the house. I can have a good signal. Won't have to go out and buy a good signal.
I already have one in my attic. I got a dual band Yagi up there. I got some LMR 400 coming down into my son's old room onto the desk where my power supply is at. Just waiting for my other ASU to come back so I can put it up there, or put the ASU on my Panda, in the Panda, and then take my Alinco and put it back upstairs. And then I'll have a radio up there to share the desk with my daughter with her computer work.
Is that
KFA-DBE.
Or is this the one that you had, one that was directed at getting back down here to Mount Pleasant?
The one in my attic is mostly for 2 meters, so I can get down to the Richmond receive site. Because it's higher up and I don't have to go stand up there with an HT. And that's basically what it's for, but it does do 440. And then now I have an open, I have a All-Star node that I use, and I have an open spot for DMR. And I think I heard KF8 GBB out there. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, fellas. Sorry to butt in on the conversation. I just had a quick question about your antenna in the attic. Is that effective? I'm looking for a place to put an HF antenna, and I was a little worried about doing it inside the attic. Is that accurate? You have your antenna inside the attic. Over.
100%. Yes, I have a dual band Yagi up there, and I have that mounted to a copper pipe, you know, a piece of copper pipe. So the only way I can get it is to keep it horizontal. You know, I got it horizontal. Whatever it is there. Not vertical, it's horizontal, but I can't think of the name of it now. My brain is shorting out. But I got it on a copper pipe and a net strap to a truss, a support truss in the attic with tie wraps and a whole roll of electrical tape, so don't move. Nobody goes up there but me anyway, so. And I got it, LMR 400 going down about 25 feet of it. Through the attic pull-down door into the room right there below it, and it works just fine. Joe, K4ZYQ, I mean, that's what he had. He had a antenna in his attic. Just keeps it out of the elements. If I was to put it outside and on an outside, then I'd have to have a ground strap and earth ground, blah, 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 and I didn't want to do that.
KF8GDB. Yeah, man, thank you. That's great feedback. I'm kind of a new ham and just looking for ways to do this stuff and not have 10 antennas off my house like a spaceship, or my wife might get upset. But the attic is some unused real estate, and it looks like a good place to get an HF dipole or something going. So, yeah, thank you very much.
Well, stick around. Yeah, we sure like talking about antennas. And I haven't done this as of yet myself for HF, put it up in the attic, but I know people have done it. I don't know if it really works stupendous, but it can get you out and you're having fun making contact. And then I've known other people that have done it, not in their attic, but I've known people that have used like some speaker wire, and they would put it at the, well, they would do a loop basically at the feeling of a room that they're in. And I think some people have jokingly termed it as a nursing home loop. I guess people have done all right with that too as well. But it's kind of just one of the general rules that I would suggest to you. I'm not certain of your name. My name is Dave. But that's something that I've been told, is that basically just the general rule is to get as much wire up as high as you possibly can. And better than having no wire up there.
Yeah, the name is Andy, and it's KF8GBD. All great feedback. I really do appreciate it. You know, the information out there is kind of hard to come by. You can Google stuff, and you get mixed results. It's never quite the scenario that you have. So, you know, hearing a little bit of voice of experience from people who have done it is great. Thank you.
I think we talked before. But there's guys out there that have a wire shot into a pine tree. Others have little poles around the house. Others make it more
West of Detroit, U.S., and actually tuck it underneath the gutters, especially where the overhang, especially in HOAs, where they won't allow, certain antennas. And I think I know one person that used a flagpole in his yard as his antenna in the HOA, and they don't know it.
I did it again, Tom. I'm sorry. I doubled with you.
Oh, got a phone call. I'll be back, guys. KCKKO.
Okay, talk clear, Tom. Let me see if I've got it here. Sorry about that. Well, anyways, I was just saying, congrats on the new ticket there, new license. And, I've been licensed on about 25 years myself now, and still having a time following the hobby here. Always something new to do. And I'm still finding different ways to experiment and getting into different areas that I haven't experienced before. Well, tell me, Andy, what sort of got your piece here? What grabs your interest in amateur radio?
Well, the whole hobby is really interesting, just the science and technical aspect and just seeing what you can accomplish, you know. It's been great. I got my technician in March and went back the next month and got the general. I got a nice Yaesu in my truck. I'm on mobile right now, and for 2 meter and 70 centimeter. And I did build a 6-element Yagi for 2 meter that is horizontally polarized on my roof. I haven't hooked it up fully. I did a little bit of a test on it with one of those cheap nano VNAs, and it seemed to be reading pretty well, but I'm hoping to do some long-range contacts with that. I got an all-mode Yaesu in the basement that is my my base station, so I got some good things started, and just getting my feet wet out here. Over. I only caught a little bit of that message. Maybe try that one back one more time.
Okay, well, I'm not certain why that was. It's near the driveway. Probably going to call it quits here. Headed to the house here. Andy, I was asking if you were aware of a local teacher signifying
I would love any info on that. The only thing I have left to do is just to run my feed line, and then I'm good to go. I got a rotator coming here eventually, so I can point her around and try to reach out, but I have no experience with single sideband, and so any info would be great. Thank you.
Horizontal polarization that you've got your antenna set up for is, for the most part, used for single sideband DW. FM, as we're talking now, generally first polarized for the antenna. But there's a group of amps that operate on 144.
able to fight the vertical polarizer test. But every day at 8:30 p.m. equals to 144.230, 144.230.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KF8GBD. Man, that is great. You said 8 o'clock?
8:30 p.m. Local time. 8:30 p.m. local time. 144.230 megahertz.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, I will check that out. I do have a Comet GP3, it's just a 6-foot dual band vertical antenna. That's been my primary up until I get this Yagi going. But I'm looking forward to checking that out. Thank you. I wasn't aware if there was too much vertically polarized action on the single sideband. You know, again, this is where Google fails and experience prevails, so thank you. And if you don't mind, could I get your call sign and name one more time?
Yeah, sure, no problem. My call, I'll give it to you phonetically, is P-8 Romeo India Tango, W-H-R-I-C, and my name is Dave, Delta Alpha Victor Echo. And I'm over in the Soros area. Andy, I'm probably going to head in the house. I've been sitting out here in the driveway chatting, so I'm going to go and enjoy my, start my extended weekend here. I got tomorrow off and the holidays, so I'm going to have to go to work for a while here. Anyways, I'll listen on out and bid you adieu. So, 7-3, and nice to meet your acquaintance there, Andy, and we'll have a chance to hopefully do a lot more of it in the future here. So, I'll listen out for your comments. Have a great afternoon from
WHRI. Yeah, Dave, thank you very much. I'm about to my destination as well, so I'll clear the channel here. Hope you have a great holiday weekend, and I'm sure I will cross paths with you again. I'm usually listening on this network, so thank you for all the advice, and 73 to you, sir. Over and out.
K-E-A-W-U-O.
K-E-A-W-R-O. Opal, why did you come
down? Not too bad. I'm on my way home. I'm going to grab the phone and hopefully Amazon dropped off a wall wart for it. And then I'm going to start heading that way. If anyone's listening and they're going to go to the MISD building today, or if they're going north, don't take Shaner. It is a parking lot. There's a bad accident at Utica and Shaner.
Copy your last. Good public interest here. I'm getting there a little early, but I think I'll stop for a bite. Heading down Garfield from 21 Mile Road right now. So not that far away. I'm glad traffic's not bad here.
Yeah, now I know why I don't leave work at normal times, because it's just chaos out here.
Oh yeah, I agree. The Shelby Township, Utica area, during certain time periods of rush hour, just forget it. It's not like it used to be in my childhood when I was out here. A lot of difference. Of course, the Ball Road is totally different as a boulevard, but nevertheless, you got other roads that are just, almost impassable. You just got to wait for the parking lot.
Yeah, I'm missing the old days when, you know, things were simpler and people were more cordial, and like nowadays, you know, everyone's, they're almost desperate to get to where they're going, and I don't know how we ever got to that point. It's kind of a shame.
N-A-W-R-O. Yeah, I agree. I don't really know what the reason is. I think I'm going to blame the interwebs. I don't know why I say that. Maybe?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we might as well. We might as well blame the internet. Could blame them, and I don't know what caused it, but it's crazy. But other than that, I'm excited for the meeting tonight. Should be a good one. Gonna probably have a pretty full house, so should be interesting. It sounds like we got a nice little topic for the day, so that'll be cool. Definitely looking forward to all of it.
And if all works well, we officially onboard 6 more. So, I'm just passing the venue now. I can report that the building is still there. So that's a good thing. All right, John, I'm going to stop off at National, I guess, and have a bite. Or maybe Wendy's, I don't know which. N-A-W-R-O, after you, sir. We'll see you soon.
All right. Well, you have a good one, sir, and see you in a bit. K-E-A-W-U-O.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
WABPB. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec.
Connected to CMN Network.
WAW, KPR. Yaha.
All right, so I successfully programmed the radio, and I was actually on P25, and it was working. One thing was weird, though. When I was, like, transmitting VHF, it wasn't showing my my call was not coming through on the display on the mobile unit. Yeah, well, I was talking to Wally, and his was coming through.
Yeah, I had a problem like that. There's a couple of ways he could be seeing the ID. If he's got soft ID set in his radio, then you're seeing what he's sending, and you may not be aliasing anybody. So, I don't know. I'd have to tear into it and decode the problem. I'm sure it's something stupid, something simple.
Oh, so there's, I didn't know there was such a thing. So it can either decode its own, wait a minute. I'm not quite following that. I mean, it's picking up his IDs and it's displaying his name, which is what's in my call list. Yet when I transmit VHF, it didn't recognize it. It just kept saying unknown location and didn't show my name or anything. But you're saying there's two different ways it can send it?
No, I'm saying that you could have a call list, but if you've got some sort of problem, and it could be anything, it could be one of them pointers that broke or anything, you could have all the stuff in there, but, you know, got to make an adjustment. There's 100 possibilities, and to sit here and try to guess, you know, without looking at it, I wouldn't know. What I'm saying is the possibility is that there's a function in Motorola P25 radios called soft ID. If you set the soft ID in your radio, you will send your information to the other person. So you could, in effect, have your alias list internal in your radio could be broken, and you're just seeing his soft ID that he's sending.
Okay, so it's not even looking at the list, it's just taking what he's sending. Kind of like ANR on a phone system.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying that's one possibility, you know, but there's so many little odds and ends. We'd have to, you know, there are other scenarios I could see that could lead to it, but it's hard enough getting it right, let alone trying to figure out why it's wrong.
Yeah, I'm understanding that much more clearly now. So, I was hoping somebody else would jump on there to see if I had decoded them, but there was nobody else around. So, I'll try it again later. See if I decoded it, if I'm having the same issue with other people.
Well, I'm on now, but I didn't have it on. I was off somewhere else, so. If you're near it, let me know. I'll give it a try.
No, I got a meeting on my way too. I'll be back around 8:30, 9-ish.
All right, I'll try to keep it on listening. All right, I'm knee deep in something right now, and I'm gonna get back to it.
Okay, very good. I do appreciate all the help today. I was like, when I started this morning, I was like, I don't know what the hell is going on here or what I'm doing. Now I have a pretty good basic understanding of what's going on. And all this stuff, it's pretty aggravating, but it's kind of fun, too, to learn new stuff.
Yeah, as you play with it, you'll start to kind of get a feel for it. And it's not easy. There's no easy way around it. You just got to get, you know, the Motorola software is years of, you know, we did it this way, and then they layered this on top and layered that on top. And, you know, now you look back and you might say, well, it would be a lot easier if they did it this way. Yeah, that would have been great if 20 years ago you'd have caught that. But, you know, but it is what it is. Once you kind of understand the top-down, bottom-up, you know, philosophy and kind of, you know, get the idea of the dependencies and stuff and learn how to use the error log and stuff like that. It's
it goes to frustrating, you know, from impossible to frustrating.
Yeah. The other thing I want to do, because like with my Kenwood, it's continuous channel number, you know, so there's no end to feel if I'm driving whatever I want to. I was able to set it on the Kenwood, you know, when I go to the first channel in a zone, like you know, let you know you're there. I think, I'm pretty sure you can do, from what I've seen, you can do that on this, but I just got to figure out the right sequence of doing that.
Yeah, as you poke under the hood, you'll figure out more and more things you can do. And it's amazing how customizable they are. Yeah, just when you look at the incoming and outgoing audio tailorization and customization you can do, it's unbelievable. So, nuts. Anyhow, I got a punch list of things I've got left to do. If it either with the big hub transition or my new phone, I got a new phone simultaneously. So it's, you know how that is, and I'm transferring from Android to Apple. So, oh, good grief! You know, it's like if you're going from an Android to an Android, you can pretty much, you know, just move everything over. But when you're going to Apple, it's like not so easy. You can get a lot of it, and the fact that I use Google services makes a, you know, at least has got me up and running. But every time I turn around, oh, I forgot that, oh, I got to have that on there, oh, crap. And so it's just like, oh, my God, I've just been going at it since I got home, and I got home early because I had plans to go somewhere tonight. And here I am, it's 6:41, and I'm still knee-deep in this, and my list has gotten longer instead of shorter.
Yeah, I just had to do something similar. My wife screwed up her phone. Somehow got a steam with the pattern, and she didn't remember what the pattern was, so I had to reset her phone and reset everything.
Have you seen this warning when you go to the Allman 3 page for the new hub? It gives a warning, and then you got to click advanced and then ignore it, and then everything's fine. Apparently, there's just some sort of SSL certificate thing I got to do. It's pretty simple. Fred mentioned it quickly, but I was knee-deep in another project, and I want to circle back and touch base with them and figure out what I got to do. But it's outside of my area of expertise, so I did a little digging around online, and I kind of sort of get it, but there's, like, services that want to sell me something to correct it, and I don't need it because I've already got GoDaddy and Zero, no IP, they have that. I don't know. So anyhow, you know anything about that SSL certification on a web page?
No, I do not. Sorry.
All right. Well, I understand it's pretty simple for those that know. And something just simple I got to do on the hub. And then that way when people go to the Allman 3 page, they won't get that warning and that error.
Yeah, I was going to mention that to you. Yeah, you have to click advanced and say you guys allow insecure sites. Yeah, there's some, I'm not sure how you get rid of that. Is it something to do with a certificate or something?
Yeah, since it's HTTPS, a secure website, when it gets there, it doesn't find a valid certificate, and so it says warning, you know, you're going to a secure site, but I don't have a certificate, you know, to match or something, my vague understanding of it. So there's a way I can readily get that fixed, you know, but I just got to figure out how to get that certificate on there updated so that it gets rid of that. So, and it's outside of my area of, you know, knowledge. I don't have much, you know, I'm sure there's 50 people out there that are like, oh, yeah, that's easy. But I just wondering if you could walk me through it. All right, I'll let you get to it. I'm going to get back to my things here. My list is 6 things on my list, and I don't think that's going to be it.
Okay, I think there's somebody else jumped in there. Was there somebody else?
Yeah, this is KF8EFV. Just wanted to chime in on the certificate thing. I do the IT thing all day long, and my people have to get those certificates for our websites. It's going to get more complicated because they're reducing the amount of time so you have to renew, and there's a bunch of websites that are trying to charge you for what should be free, but yeah, I can help you guys out with that.
Well, I don't know if you've ever been to the OM on 3 page for this network. Well, I'm on the KFBI network, so if you're on the Central Michigan network, you're not. But if you go to k8fbi.org, that redirects to a no IP DDNS. And when you go there, it's going to say warning, you know, and you got to click advanced and then accept it, then you can get there. And I just got to fix that. That's what I got to fix.
Roger that. Copy, Sean. Yeah, we talked a couple times. I'm one of the regular listeners here that hasn't talked as much as I should. And I hear you guys in the morning even talking about your problems with the, running Parallels on Mac and you can't get programming. I've been working through that myself because I run a Mac all day long. But the certificate thing, we can definitely solve that. Super simple. And I know the dashboard you're talking about for the K8FBI. We can, I can help you with that. And the other problem's not that hard either with the Parallels. I think some of it is workable with you guys having driver problems running on the VMs. I've got some of it worked out, like Motorola, no. Like my R7, I can't do it yet. But a bunch of the other radios, yeah, there's driver issues that you can work out.
I'm going to jump out here. I'm where I got to go. Keep here. Go ahead, guys.
All right, Phil, I'll be around. Catch you later. Okay, good. Well, I don't want to focus on that one. I'll get to that one later. Right now I'm trying to get to, in addition to completely revamping the hub and migrating from virtual server in Fenton running All-Star 2 to a local Weissbox running All-Star 3 and everything that entailed, and I did a whole set. You've probably seen, I changed numbers and everything. And it's still got a laundry list of punch list items I got to get done on that. It's 90% there, but that's kind of one of them that I know, everything else I know what I got to do. I just got to have the time. That one there, I'm sure if I had the time to go research, I could figure it out. But it's like, oh, I got enough things to do. It's like go learn something else. So it's just open. So yeah. So okay. Well, anyway, we can get that. And then on top of all that, an iPhone that I've been waiting on comes in because FirstNet wanted me to use their service. They wanted me to demo it against another service, and I said, "Well, I'm not carrying three phones. I got two phones already, and I'm not carrying a third phone." And so they got me a new iPhone with their service on it, and unlocked, and I put my Android on the second SIM, but now I'm not only am I transferring from Android to iPhone, but it's like all the little bugaboos, all little things, but every one of them is like, oh, now I got to go fix this, oh, now I got to go fix that. Luckily, I got really good password managers and stuff, so most of that part at least hasn't been too painful, but oh, it's just tedious, And I'm not complaining; I'm just complaining. Oop, did I time out?
No, I got you on all that. I understand completely. I'll shoot you my email. You actually accepted my friend request a while ago on Facebook. I never get on Facebook, but I'll shoot you a DM on Facebook with my email, and you can shoot me an email anytime. I've been in IT 35 years. A lot of the stuff you're struggling with, we deal with every day, and I got a team of people. We'll help you out. I'm just looking to contribute in any way I can to the community as well, and I'm kind of new here, but, yep, we'll help you.
Okay, yeah, shoot me the email, and then, like I said, anything you can tell me in that email about getting this SSL thing fixed, I'm all ears. So I'm trying to do it, you know, cost-free. You know, my initial investigations have been, you know, everybody's want to sell me a service to do it. I know you can get around doing that. I've already got no IP for the servebeer.com domain, so they may do it, you know, I maybe do it just basically with my account from them. May be able to do it. I also have a GoDaddy, KFBI.org is GoDaddy, so I don't know, one of those two may provide that certificate service for me. I don't know how it works. All right, so if you can include that, when you're going to hit me up a contact email, like I said, that's the big one. You know, most of the other ones are just punchless items. I just got to get to resolve. It's not so much needing to know how, just having it time. All right, I appreciate it. W8FD.
All right, I'll shoot you a DM on Facebook here in the next 5 minutes. Look for that, and it'll have my contact info in there as well. I hear you guys in the morning. My problem is I live in Holly. I put it all the way. I work in Waterford by the airport, but with Phil's repeater having a limited signal at West Bloomfield, I can't transfer.
All right, well, there's a couple ways to get around that, you know, whether you get All-Star Node's probably the easiest one, but, you know, we got a pretty good Echolink service. If you're, this iPhone's got this repeater phone, which is real good. There's BB Switch, you know, for the other, I get it, it's not radio, but there's any number of ways you can get around that if that's all that's keeping you back for now. But, all right, cool. I'll look for the DM and...
Sean, but yeah, I hear you with me. I heard Echolink and stuff. Yeah, I got that. I got to know too. Whether I leave it at work or here, I don't know. But I'll shoot you that email, and maybe I'll touch base with you guys in the morning if I catch it at the right time when I'm within the window. But I'll shoot you that DM on Facebook, and we can touch base. And feel free to I'll include my cell phone number, and you can call me anytime. All right. I'll be clear. This is KF8EFV.
K8WOJ.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Call me over here, Phil.
Yeah, I just want you to know I'm almost back home. She's going to be around in about 10 minutes so I can get things back up.
Yep, I'll be here listening.
Alrighty. Catch you soon. Tape here.
Alrighty, yeah, gonna
contacts list. I'm going to keep at it until you until you're ready to test. W8FU.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
QRZ, QRZ, KCH, Alien.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Uniform November.
It's Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot QBatch November. I am 4.4 miles away from the Romeo Theater using the HT inside of a car. Probably why you can't.
Perfectly fine. You sound perfectly good. It's just that Q and U, when you're talking very narrow band signals like we have to use in amateur radio, are almost impossible to tell apart. That's why we have to phonetically spell things so often, which you did a great job with there. I just thought you had would have had the absolute coolest call sign, the most fun call sign, no pun intended. But either way, it's still nice to talk to you. I'm Tim, by the way, Alpha Delta 8 Juliet Lima. What's your name?
Okay, I'm assuming there ain't to be up there. But my name is Wyatt, Whiskey Yankee Alpha Tango Tango. And it's nice to meet you, Tim.
Wyatt, got that. Very nice. You haven't had your license too long. Probably, what, about a year and a half now? My daughter has her license as well, and she's KF8GCK. And if you're KF8F, you're probably... maybe even less than a year having your license.
Yeah, I got my license on January 22nd of this year.
Thanks, sir. That is a decent accomplishment. It's always nice to have new amateur radio people to talk to and into the hobby. You said you had an HT. What kind of radio do you have?
I'm using an Intone 868.
Got it. Do you have a quality version of the relatively new, inexpensive handheld? For my children, my son also has his amateur radio license. I got them BAFEX, and they work okay for what you pay for them, but they don't work great.
and they've managed to both beat them up pretty good. So this time I sprung with up to Guansheng K6s, but not all the way up to the Anytone. They still beat up equipment too badly, so I'm not shelling out Anytone money just yet.
Yeah, they're just golfing, though. They're handy little radios to have, and, like, how cheap they are, like, the EV5R and stuff. I mean, yeah, they work good. It's just, yeah, there's some issues with them. And, their quality control is decent. It's just, you can't really expect, like, to get, like, EMQ level quality out of a $17 radio. But, yeah, I mean, if you pair it with a good antenna, like, the signal stick, single stuff, and yeah, you can get a, like, good range out of that. Heck, I use the, cheap, Aubrey, 3-foot tape antenna, and I can hit, from my house, Romeo is about 14 miles away. I can hit, I was able to hit Romeo with a 10-watt Baofeng, AR-152, like, with ease.
You definitely have learned one of the important lessons of amateur radio. It's as much as we love obsessing about our radios, it's much, much less about the radio and much, much more about the antenna. And then I would also say it's also about the operator. In FM, VHF, UHF, FM type stuff, less so. It's kind of click the button and talk. But especially in HF, there's definitely a magic to being able to do HF well. And it just takes practice and getting exposed to it, you know, that type of thing. I'm guessing you must live about 14 miles, though, then, somewhere 14, 15 miles. If you're, probably like 16 miles. 16 miles, if you're 4.5 miles from the Warren repeater at 12 miles, and you're 10 miles to Romeo, that probably puts you in that neighborhood.
Okay, everyone's going on my radio. I'm pretty sure I just can't. It has like a transmit delay on it. But anyways, no, I'm in Emily City actually. And that's 14.4 miles. I'm guessing away from Romeo.
That just came in, you're extremely, extremely staticky. Virtually impossible to hear you. Real quick, Wyatt, I forgot that this repeater network is linked to a bunch of others. So you're probably talking to it, not the Warren repeater. That's my fault. But to the staticky breaking station, go ahead and let's try this again and see what happens. ADHJL. So, KD8 Kilo Juliet, something like that. Go ahead.
Hello, it's Cujo. Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. And then you got KFATTQ in there. Sounds like he wants to jump in the rotation there. And KFATTQ, go ahead and then throw it over to Wyatt.
Just happy to hear y'all on the repeater. I know how you had mentioned that someone, or your daughter, had gotten an amateur radio license recently. I got the QO Fox Trot 8 Echo Tango Quebec, and that was November timeframe of last year. Off to, I think it was Wyatt next.
Yeah, Tim, I don't think I've ever heard you in the repeater before. I maybe have, but I've probably been not paying attention, just listening while I'm doing other stuff. But, I'll hand it over to them.
Oh, Wyatt, I think it's the first time that I've heard you as well. I don't do a ton of VHF, UHF type stuff, and when I do it, it's almost always in my car. But I have found that keeping a mobile rig up and running in a car is a constant struggle. At least it is for me. If I'm not having antenna problems, I'm having cable problems, or I'm having radio problems,
So it's probably been a couple of, I don't know, maybe even as long as a couple of months since I've been on the radio much. I actually just got a new to me radio, and I'm actually shopping online right now for a new antenna to put on the car, hopefully with a better mount so that I can get something more reliable. So yes, it has been a little bit since I've been on there. I got my license probably 3 or 4 years ago, something like that. And I do go through spurts and ups and downs, but I have been around a bit, but not a ton. I'm not surprised that you haven't heard me. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Cucho. This is 88JL in the group.
You guys are all young. I've had my since 1998. So what, going on almost 30 years. And I just got back into it probably within the past 2 years. Went on and off a lot, but now I'm a little bit more in-depth into it. Yeah, you gotta get the right radio for the right antenna. And, yeah, you can get like a Comet or a Diamond pretty fairly priced depending on what you want, what you're going to have it do. For VHF, UHF, the MR-77, the mag mount, for good price. Or you can look at the Larsons too. I got a couple of those. Over to Darren. Yeah, Darren, slow down. KCKGO.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. KJO, you were very, very fast. Sorry. Anyways, I heard you guys talk about signal stuff, signal stick. That's kind of close to what I have, although it is something from Gable Antenna, and I think Wyatt, I'll try and see if I can send you a link to the antenna on Amazon. Talk to you guys later. I am almost home. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango, Quebec.
I did link, yeah, and it was, yeah, Addison CJ sent me a link to that antenna. And, yeah, you have a good, good action night, Andrews. And, also, Cujo, there's no need to brag. We know you're old. You know, you've had your license for a while. There's no need to brag. I'll hand you one again.
I have to say that I'm old as well. I actually got my first amateur radio license back in December of 1999, but I only used it for a few months, and I was bored of my mind. I couldn't find anything that was interesting to me in the hobby. Everybody just around me just wanted to talk on two-meter repeaters, and that's not much of my thing. And so I let my license lapse. But my son, who's now 17 and a half, about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, 3 years ago, he said, hey, you know, I wouldn't mind getting my amateur radio license. So we went ahead and did it. So he got his, I got mine. And then his sister, who's 5 years younger, she got hers like a year and a half later. I think she was 11 when she got it. I think she just turned 11 is how old she was since she got it. So, and it's a lot easier for me to do radio things when it's able to be a family thing. When it's just me by myself, you know, I've already got plenty of hobbies that take me away from the rest of the family. So it's nice having a hobby that all three of us can do. We'll go to Stony Creek Metro Park and we'll all bring our HTs and the kids can run around the park wherever they want and we can all communicate with VHTs, things like that. And so it is a fun thing that we can do together, POTAs, things like that. So that's what we enjoy out of it as well. Well, Wyatt, I too am going to get wrapped up here. I'm going to get back to shopping these antennas so that I can head off to bed so that I can get this ordered tonight. It was very nice talking to you. One last thing, Wyatt, don't forget to say your call sign. Other than that, Wyatt, you did a wonderful job in the conversation here. I look forward to speaking to you again. This is ATHJL. I will be monitoring for a few minutes, but effectively clear, and I'm going to turn it over to Coach Cujo, ATHJL.
Of course.
So, you're not coming in good there. You're, like, really cut in and out. I only heard, like, two words in your transmission. I tried calling your name or your call sign out, and the 446-000, I think it was, or no, 441-000, and I heard no response back, so, yeah, I guess it was, we were out of range and stuff, but, yeah, your transmissions are not coming in clear, from, this is Peter. Yeah, may have to invite you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because I was talking to John and Darren and Brian, the WAP.
Today, Wyatt, this is K-E-8-W-U-O, and just letting you know that Tom is coming in broken for me, too, so I don't think it's anything on your end. So, you guys have a good night, and like Tom said, get your homework done. K-E-8-W-U-O.
It wasn't your antenna, but why you are leaving coverage. You were getting pretty static too. So good night to both of you. John, if you're still listening, what meeting did you guys come from?
He was in an ARPSC meeting. He dropped in as a guest to check it out. Were you saying that I was barely getting in, or you're talking about Tom?
You're full quiet. You're absolutely wonderful.
All right. You're pretty wonderful, too.
Signal's good too, right?
You got me cracking up over here. good times. But we gotta get in the water again one of these days, Tim. But I know you said you were getting close to home. I'm at the gas station, so I'm gonna pump some gas here and then head home myself. So I'll monitor for a few minutes if you had anything else for me, but otherwise, this is KE8WUO.
Real quick, you're about to go between?
No, I did not hear anything about the go-between.
Not be operating this year. They didn't even bother to put it in the water. The boat is up for sale, and they've basically bailed on operating on Lake Huron. That is a real, real bummer for those of us who want to go do shipwrecks in Lake Huron.
Yeah, that's kind of unbelievable. I don't know how that would have happened. You know, that was, I would have assumed good money for them. You know, they pull 16 to 18 divers in a day, you know, two different times. And, yeah, that's hard to believe. That's crazy. I haven't been on it in quite a while, but still, that's too bad. That's just going to make it even harder to get out there next year and the following years and for everybody this year. Luckily, I chartered some charters with Tracy, but, interesting.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, it definitely is a loss to us here on Lake Huron. I don't have any charters with Tracy. I often go with the Sea Snoopers Dive Club, and unfortunately, one or two, I think they've got two trips chartered with Tracy, and both times I had like things I absolutely could not change, highest priority things for me through the summer, but I wasn't able to make it. So, yeah, I'm kind of scrambling looking for ways to get on the lake to do some diving because I had, I think, three charters already signed up for with the go-between, and now I got nothing, you know, so I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get diving done this season. Haven't really made some, I've only made one definite plan for one dive, one weekend of diving this entire summer. By now I'd have my entire summer filled out. So kind of took all of us as a kind of blindsided all of us, you know. So just trying to figure that out. But I'm glad you've got ways of getting on the water. It sounds like you'll have some exciting diving for yourself then. 88 jail.
Yeah, I guess so. I got lucky. I only have, I think I only have one scheduled, and it's 4th of July weekend. I think it's the 3rd and the 4th, or the 4th and the 5th, I forget. But that's what I have in Mackinac with him. And then my buddy Stan got a charter, that I'm on, you know, but it's not my charter, that I'll be on that one, and then I think there's one other one in August, but I'm not 100% sure. You know, I don't know if you know Bender from Canada. I forget his real name, but he kind of goes by Bender, but he's got some good stuff out of, I think it's Port Franks, and you can get over there on the Wexford. I would reach out to him, and if you haven't dove the Wexford, that's a lot of fun. And Bender has a real nice boat, and, you know, he's a pretty straightforward dude, kind of a no, he's pretty serious, but he's all right. And then when it comes to the 4th of July, I'll keep in mind, I did send out invites for everybody, but our guys are so last minute, you know, they don't pay me until the last day of the charter, you know, there's no planning, you know, so it's, I'll keep you in mind, I'll try to keep a seat open for you if I can, and I don't know if that will work for you, but let me know, and we'll stay in touch.
I've got my number. We can take this offline. I don't think all of Metro Detroit, or frankly, all of Central Michigan, I guess, with the network here, needs to hear about our scuba diving plans. But, yes, I've got no plans for July 3rd, or 4th and 5th. The 4th is a Saturday, the 5th is a Sunday. I have no plans. I have cash. I am ready to pay. I am not one of those people who wait for the last minute, and I am ready to pay now. So if you've got seats, let me know. You've got my number. You've got my email address, too. So get in touch. Let me know. Happy. You obviously need some details, but I am eager to get signed up for some diving. So, yes, definitely please let me know. I'm hoping to go on the Wexford. I think it's August 15th is the date that we're hoping to get. But kind of like your buddies, the sea snoopers can be last minute too. We're still trying to figure out details on that end. I keep gently prodding to move them forward. But yeah, if you've got open seats and you're looking to fill them, please get in touch with me. I've got slots in my schedule to be able to fill it.
All righty. I will do. I will keep you posted. And glad to hear you'll make it to the Wexford. And we'll take this offline. But all right. Well, for now, this is KE8WUO. And I'll reach out to you hopefully tomorrow or soon. And we'll figure this out. I still haven't taken the time off of work. So I've been dragging my feet a little bit. So. All right. KE8WUO. Over to you. And I'll be clear.
You've got a charter and you haven't taken the time off work yet. You think your buddies drag their feet? Wow. Anyway, yeah, sounds good, John. I hope you have a good evening. Hope looking at the price on that gas pump when you get gas doesn't give you a heart attack. If not, I look forward to talking to you soon about the trip. Hope you have a good evening. 88 Jail.